All my young friends, there are certain words that I hope over the course of your lives, certain life-changing words that you are able to say. I hope all of you will say, if you have not said already, I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I claim Him and I seek to be a servant of His kingdom all of my days. I hope you have said that, or if not, that you will. I hope that at some point in your lives you're able to say to someone special, I love you with all of my being. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I hope at some point in the near future, you're able to say, I know what I want to do with my life. Your parents are really going to hope that you say at some point, I'm willing to take that job. At some point, I hope you're able to look at someone you love in the eye and say, I am ready to bring children into this world. All of those statements are statements that can define, in a definitive way, chapters in your life. But among the most important words you can ever say is a word that's not even really a word. It's just sort of a sound. But it is incredibly important sometimes to say it. It is the important word, Jesus has just crossed the Sea of Galilee with disciples. They'd come to Bethsaida, which is hometown to several disciples. And immediately the village crowds around him, bringing him a blind man that they want him to heal. Jesus has a reputation as a compassionate and powerful healer. And the crowd seems even more intense and interested in having this man healed than does the blind man himself. It's kind of like the paralytic's friends who knocked the hole in Jesus' roof and lowered their friend down, imploring Jesus to heal him. Maybe this blind man was guarding against getting his hopes up too high. Maybe he didn't have that much trust in this alleged holy man. But look what Jesus does. He takes the man by the hand and leads him out of the village, away from the crowd. The Pharisees had been pressing him for some kind of sign, and this may be his way of responding. This will not be a public parable. It will not be a public healing. He takes the man out away from everyone and is only in the presence of the disciples. And he spits on his eyes. He lays hands on his eyes, signaling how intimate and personal is this healing to Jesus. And then he asked him a question. Do you see anything? My young friends, I want to alert you to the fact that this passage is unique in the Bible. Jesus has healed people of every physical, psychological, and emotional problem. He has used his touch, his voice, his spit, even mud to bring healing to people. He cured a woman of bleeding and didn't even intend to. He cured children without ever seeing them. But his healings were always instantaneous. When he said to Lazarus, arise, Lazarus rose. When he said to the paralytic, walk, the paralytic walked. When he healed the man of a withered hand, that rehabilitation was immediate. But not here. Jesus spits on the man's eyes. He lays hands on the man's eyes, and he says, "Do you see anything?" And I am convinced that the first sound out of his mouth, though it's not in Mark's text, and you can't find it in the dictionary, nevertheless, the first sound that he uttered was, I can see, but not clearly. I can see men, but they look like trees walking. I've got a little bit of light, but my reception is fuzzy. My young friends, among the most important words you can say in your life from time to time is, Put yourself for a moment in that blind man's shoes. How would you have responded when Jesus said to you, "Can you see clearly?" Maybe you're thinking, "Oh, well, I would have said what the blind man did. I can see, but I can't see very clearly." Don't be too confident in your answer. There was a lot of pressure upon this blind man to lie. After all, he has been touched by the anointed one of God. For him to say to this man, I can see but not clearly, that involves a lot of vulnerability. The man may have been thinking, "You know, this is probably my fault. I don't have faith enough. I didn't trust the holy man enough. I mean, God may consider me ungrateful if I say, yeah, I can see, but not very well. After all, a little bit of light's better than none. Maybe all I deserve is just half healing." The fault's not with the holy man. It's with me. Before you say, "Oh, I would have said, yeah, I can't see," remember, there was a lot of pressure on that man to just not make waves. But instead, he summoned his courage and he said, I can see, but not clearly. I need a second touch. Y'all are very gifted. You have talent and energy and intelligence. But you're going to come to forks in your road when you're not sure which path to take. And sometimes the wisest thing you can say is, I'm not sure. Sometimes you can say, "Lord, I've asked for your guidance. I've asked to know your will, but I'm not sure." Don't be in too big a hurry to escape your life's ambiguity. Don't rush to resolve your confusion. Sometimes it is okay to sit back and say to the Lord, I still don't know which path to take. I need a second touch. The Spirit of God from time to time is going to probe your soul to say, "Where are you? How are you doing?" And the temptation is going to be very easy to say, "Oh, I'm fine. I've got life figured out. I understand your will perfectly. I've got it all under control." But the truth is, you know, your faith is imperfect. Your love is flawed. Your understanding is confused. Your perception of the way is not clear. And it is okay to be honest enough with God to say,
feel your touch. But my faith is imperfect. My life is imperfect. My understanding of the way forward is imperfect. I need a second touch.
Again, like everyone in this room, you're going to face moments where you're not sure which way to go. And it could be that all of the paths ahead of you are okay, but you don't know that. And sometimes the best path of wisdom is to step back and to say, I need to take a deep breath. I need to go, oh, I need to ruminate. I need to think on this before I move forward. There are going to be times in your academic and in your professional lives where someone, either a teacher, a professor, a boss, is going to say, did everyone understand that? And the temptation's there to just blend in with your ignorant peers and go, yeah. Instead of having the courage to raise your hand and say, I didn't quite get that. Could you go over that again? That will happen to you in your academic life and in your professional life. And there are going to be times when people think you've got everything under control, when your life is perfectly put together and you know you're faking it. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't see clearly. I need a second touch of grace. Notice, Jesus, he is not at all concerned that the man can't see instantly. He just lays hands upon him, and the scriptures say the man looked intently and saw everything clearly. He looked intently and saw everything clearly. I should tell you, biblical scholars have wrestled with this passage. Some have said Jesus intended to do a two-step healing, that he wanted this man to have to claim his healing, that Jesus was testing his depth of faith and commitment. Others say, no, this was a parable really intended for the disciples because they never saw anything clearly. He was using this man to remind them, hey, you mess everything up. It's okay to say to me, we don't understand. We need a second touch. What I wanted to say to you this morning is all of us are half-healed people. All of us. And it is okay to admit that to God because God never intends for any of us to remain half healed. God never intends for any of us to remain forever estranged. He never intends for us to go through life feeling guilty. He never intends us to go through life poisoned with anger. He never intends for us to go through life feeling frustrated and hopeless. God always wants to put a second touch on us to clarify our vision, to purify our love, to strengthen our character. And there are times we just simply have to open our being and say, I need more grace. That is not an act of fear. That is an act of spiritual courage. Sometimes there is more honesty in a good, frank, than there is in a glib, I've got it all under control. William Sloan Coffin was the chaplain of Yale University for many years. And he had a favorite saying, to experience the love of God is not to solve the mystery of God. Rather, it is to deepen the mystery of God. To experience the love of God is to deepen the mystery of God. When that blind man felt the spittle of Jesus upon his eyes and the hands of Jesus upon his face, he realized, this man cares for me. He is interested in my welfare. He loves me. And feeling the love of Christ, the man feels empowered to be honest with Christ. I can see, but I can't see clearly. My prayer for you now and forevermore is that you will go through your life honest enough with God to be able to feel comfortable in His love and to say to Him what you really feel. Sure, there are going to be times when your faith is solid and your love is strong, and your understanding is clear. But there will also be times when your vision is cloudy, and your faith is failing, and your love is flawed. And I hope in those times you feel the love of God so you can honestly say, I need a second touch. May we pray together. Lord, may these young people have that kind of courage. May they have the kind of courage that enables them to so trust your love, they can be utterly honest with you. And may those of all ages who hear this message, may they truly claim you as Savior and cast themselves upon your nurture daily. Because we need your nourishment every single day. You do not want us complacent. You want us to ever be striving for the upward call of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.